Good morning and welcome to Grand View Baptist Church. Beautiful Sunday morning, Mother's Day. We have a chorus to sing together. Would you stand with me as we sing the chorus? It's in your bulletin as well as on the screen. Something about that name. Let's sing it through one good time. All voices singing together. Here we go. Ready?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something.
That blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That was beautiful singing. We not only have a choir behind me, but we now have a new choir in front of me, okay? Practice today is normal time, so make sure you're here, okay? Thank you. You may be seated.
Dying man on a cross. with that great singing. If you would, please stand to your feet and turn in your hymn books to page number 78. When we all get to heaven, page number 78, we will sing the first and the last. Sing out with me on that first.
Sing the one.
Us where with the strength and wherewithal to arrive and to do that with an exciting spirit. We thank you for each and every one who has chosen to be here this morning. And God, we worship you in so many ways today. We're thankful for the wonderful singing that's taken place here in just the beginning of our service. God, I pray that you would do a great and mighty work in the lives of each and every person present here today. Lord, we've shown up and we need to hear your word. We need it in our lives so that, Lord, we can be helped, but so that we can help someone else with it as well. Please do a wonderful work in each and every part of our lives and what happens today. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Video, we say Happy Mother's Day today to all of our mothers present this morning. We are honored to have each and every one of you. Now, for all of our ladies here this morning, we have a special gift for each and every adult lady that's present after the morning service. Brother TJ, of course, will be preaching, so it won't be a lengthy message this morning. Can we all vote on that right now? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. But after he preaches his non-lengthy message, in the foyer, we have a gift. This is a newly written and printed book by our pastor's wife, Mrs. Vicki Mutchler. And it's entitled, A Cup of Encouragement. And she wanted every adult lady present this morning to receive their very own copy of this book. So out in the foyer, there's a table set up. There'll be a lady there to help assist you. And as we're dismissed, you can step out to the foyer and get your complimentary copy of Miss Vicki's book to all ladies present here this morning. Now, there's a reason why we're not handing them out in the service. Okay? Because I know what some of you will do. Right? By the way, you'll probably get more out of the... Well, I'm not going to say it. I didn't say it. Strike that from the... I didn't say it. You'll be reading the book, and Brother TJ will be trying to preach, and you'll be doing it indiscreetly. You know? And... It's just a distraction. I'm just sorry, but it is. Right. But enjoy this book. Miss Vicki has written a wonderful book for our ladies, and you can have one today. Also, I wanted to mention that if you are our guest today, if you're visiting, if you're an adult visitor here for the very first time, we're so honored to have you as our guest. And in the bulletin that you receive, there's an opportunity for you to fill out a welcome card. We have a gift for you. After the service, out in the foyer as well, you can turn in this card. It simply detaches from the bulletin. You can bring that to us. I'll be back there. We have a gift for you and some light refreshments and things. We'd love to get to know you a little bit before you leave to go home. And so we have that for you as well if you're visiting with us for the very first time. So please keep that in mind as well. Now, our next announcement, I don't think is in the bulletin, but I did want to mention to us that there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer on the information desk for men's softball, okay? I mentioned this in the 8:30 service, and they just went crazy about it. Everybody in that service is in between the ages of 90 and 101. And I had to repeat myself a few times, but they finally got it, you know what I mean? Anyway... We're going to produce some details about this next Sunday, but if you're the slightest interested in men's softball, and by the way, ladies, how many of you would like your husband to be gone from 4 to 8:30 every Saturday evening? Okay? All right. Well, this will help out. Okay. Of course, I know you're the cheerleader. You're going to be there cheering him on, right? So, but keep that in mind. There is a sign-up sheet out there for that as well. Now, there's many more announcements. Some are mentioned in our video announcements at the end, but I wanted to verbally mention this one as well as have it mentioned in the video. We have updated our church constitution, and there's a business meeting on the 20th, which is next Sunday, and it's in the evening. The updated constitution of Grandview Baptist Church will be presented to the congregation and voted on during that meeting. Now, this Wednesday's service, Pastor will be here the 16th, and he will be able to afterwards answer if you have a question about that. We have that on our website. We also have some paper copies. We've sent it out through, if you get the e-messenger from us, we've sent it out to you for you to read through. We want you to see what it says, just some updates and modernizing it some for today, for this day. And so if you want to read that now, if you want a paper copy, like I said, we have some of those on the information desk as well. So please review over that and look at it. He did want us to mention that if there's any questions about that, this Wednesday we will address those questions. And then on Sunday evening we will have a vote on that. So please keep that in mind. At this time, we are going to watch a brief video of how things are going in Peru. Pastor Mutchler and some of our other men on staff and in our church have been in Peru for the last several days, and they have been working on putting a new roof on the church there. John Biazzo and his ministry and his members have been helping along the way in great efforts. These men from our church have been there, and you'll see that they're doing much more than a roof, even though that's huge. And so we wanted to take a moment and show a recent video. Now, this one, probably just because of distance and technology, it's not as clear, but you can understand and hear what's being said, and you can learn from that. After that video, we will enjoy a wonderful time of greeting time. So let's show that if we can.
All right, so here we are. It's Friday, and I'm going to take a video here of the progress that we have there. Mark and Ted are still continuing on the front entrance there. It's looking absolutely beautiful. Doing a great job. did get all of our roofing completed. Got that finished today, ridge cap included. And the gutters are coming. I think John Biazzo is picking those up now. And those will be installed, I believe Saturday. Those will be installed. We finished roughing in the restrooms today. And we've got a crew of drywallers coming in. And they're working on hanging the drywall. And you see them right there. They're beginning right now. So everything is roughed in. This is actually the kitchen here. And then this would be the restroom entrance here. William's doing a great job cleaning up, preparing for the drywallers to come in. So this would be the men's restroom here. Still a bit of work to do there, but everything's roughed in except for the sink, which will be back in this corner here. So we still need to put some walls in, and but this is all roughed in here with all the backing and everything. Pulled an all-nighter last night, John and I did, and was able to get a lot of this plumbing done, supply lines and everything. So this will be where the sink will be. This is the ladies' restroom here. This is the sink. And then the commode area. So, got a lot accomplished, and everybody is doing very well. Everybody says hello. Thanks for praying for us, and continue to do so. We have a big day on Mother's Day, so we're preparing for everything. John promised the ladies that we would have a functioning bathroom for them, so that's the big deal, I guess, for them. And so we still have much to do to complete that, of course, but just pray that we can get it completed for them so they can have a wonderful service on Mother's Day. God bless.
Again, we just wanted to keep you aware of how things are going there in a great, wonderful way. These men still have two or three more days left of working, so please let's continue to pray for them, their health, their strength, and all that pertains to that as they work hard in this great effort. Thank you for those who've given towards that, and we appreciate that. It's going to be a great and wonderful ministry. God's going to use it in a mighty way. Already using it in a mighty way, but having a beautiful building is going to help that and tremendously. Thank you for that. Let's enjoy a greeting time this morning. Let's stand together and shake hands with one another.
make our way back to our seats. Let's take out our hymn books and turn to page number 464. If you would please stand with me. We're going to sing Who is on the Lord's Side. Page number 464. Sing it out with me on that first.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? By Thy call of mercy, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine.
Great singing. Remain standing for offertory prayer.
Well, we come to an important time in our service where we as well have an opportunity to worship the Lord in our tithes and offerings. And we want to just thank everyone for their giving to the Lord through the avenue of the local church. Thankful for the faithfulness of our people who give. This past week, we were able to have quite a great bit of activity in ministry-wide and outreach. We offer 10 different opportunities of outreach where we can show up and go out and invite some people to church and such. And we'd encourage you to check out our outreach center in the foyer. And it gives all the times and details of that. But this week we had 70 different people going out through outreach. We had 700 doors knocked on, people that were invited to church. And then we, through those efforts, we had 37 people who trusted Christ as their Savior. And so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. And we want you to know that our goal, and our pastor has set this precedent from day one, is that we believe in sharing the love and message of Jesus Christ and ministering to our community. And so please know that. Many of you do that on a weekly basis. And by the way, those numbers do not reflect when you hand the cashier a gospel tract or you go through the bank teller and they tell you you don't have any money, but you give them a tract anyway. You know, you know what I'm talking about. But those numbers, really, we don't have a way of finding those out. So as we do that on our own time, those numbers greatly increase and many more people are invited to church and hear about the Savior. So thank you for that effort as well. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask blessing on the offering. You may be seated after prayer. Brother Cameron's going to come and pray for the offering this morning.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the ministry in Piura, Peru, as we were just able to watch the video of Brother Hoxie and many of the other men here from the church who have gone and have set aside some time and some effort to be a blessing to those people there. God, thank you for Grandview Baptist Church. Thank you for our offerings and for all the work that goes into supporting us here in our ministry. Thank you for the ministry that we have here in Oregon and our ability to lead people to Christ. God, I pray that you continue to use us as we strive to represent you to the community and Oregon City and the surrounding areas. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've seen some trouble in my short day, but through it all I have no fear. I have a friend who's always near. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, cause I stand upon the rock. He is the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. Sometimes the way seems bleak, cause we are here.
human and we are weak. But take it from me when the road seems rough. He is there to pick you up. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, as I stand upon the rock. He is the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes.
Well, praise the Lord. That was great. Just a good reminder that God's always in control. No matter what comes in life, God's in charge. And so that's great. And of course, Pastor is in Peru. And every time I see one of those videos, I keep waiting for Pastor to be on some type of big machinery driving it around the building. It hasn't happened yet, but one of these videos, we're going to see him. And if you remember when we were building our building back here, our new building, I come out there and he's got the giant, the big old backhoe thing, and he's out there driving that thing around. I'm like, oh my word. I stayed away from that, but it was great. And so every time we see one of those Peru videos, I'm waiting to see Pastor on some type of machinery. And I'm hoping it does. And hopefully he doesn't break it when he's on it. But anyway, it'll be good. And boy, happy Mother's Day. Hope you're having a good Mother's Day. I always joke with my mom. I said, you know, Mother's Day is really for me. Just a good reminder of how awesome your children are. And she just doesn't feel the same way when I say that. And so, Mom, if you're watching, welcome. And so anyway, I hope you're having a good Mother's Day. How many of you got a lunch today or some type of meal today with some family for Mother's Day? Anybody like that? Good. It is a beautiful day out there for that, isn't it? What a great week we've had. Also, on Mother's Day, I'm always reminded of how thankful I am to my mom for giving me this massive forehead she's given me. Okay? My mom's got, you know, hair to cover up the forehead. And, you know, this week I was out in the sun and got a little too much. If you get close to me, you'll see what I'm talking about. And this morning I went to comb my hair, you know, and get it just right. And there's like a line, like a white line, like right by the, I'm like, really? And so happy Mother's Day. Thanks, Mom. And the teenagers always joke. They say, but a teenager, that's a four-finger, you know, forehead. And I said, yeah, right, dude. It's like six or seven at least. And so anyway, thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. And boy, I hope you're having a good Mother's Day. And what a great day to celebrate the women in our lives. And I hope you're going to have a good Sunday morning here at Grandview Baptist Church. If you got your Bibles, we're in James chapter 2. And of course, our pastor has been working through the book of James, verse by verse, as well as some of our other staff men. And last week, I was told that he mentioned up here, he stopped early in chapter 2. Because if any of you know James chapter 3, James chapter 3, about verses 1 through 10 there, they're all about the tongue and controlling your mouth. And he said, you know, it would be bad for TJ to have to get up on a Sunday morning, Mother's Day, and talk about controlling your mouth. Number one, I can't do that. Number two, never mind. And so I'm glad that he stopped short for me. That could have gotten an interesting Mother's Day message, how to control your mouth. Oh boy. And so we're not going to talk about that today. We're in James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 20. And if you're not there, I do want to mention this. Brother Vessel mentioned this just a couple minutes ago. Boy, if you are not involved in a church outreach ministry here at Grammy Baptist Church, boy, find one that works for you and get involved almost every single day. We've got a group or two groups, multiple groups going out, where they go out, they invite people to church, they talk to people about Christ, and it's a great time, and we've done many. I think we got over 10, 12, over 10 different times. Say, why so many times? Well, we want you to be able to find one that works for you. Wednesday afternoons, I have the opportunity to take teenagers out. And we go out. This past week, I had 30-some teenagers on a bus with me. And we went out, and we split up, and we knocked on doors, invited people to church, and talked to people about Christ. We also teach those teenagers how to win someone to the Lord. We teach them the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, 5:8, how to explain those verses so that someone can clearly understand the gospel. And this past week, for instance, we had a senior boy. He's been working hard on memorizing those verses. He's been practicing on talking to people. And we make him say it to the adults. I've been won to the Lord by teenagers many times, as they say it to me. And this past week, he said it to one of our adults, and I said, I think you're ready. I think you're ready to talk to someone. And he was out knocking on doors, and he met a teenager walking on the street and was able to take 5 to 10 minutes, open his Bible, and show them how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven. That teenager that day bowed his head, closed his eyes, and asked Jesus Christ to come in their heart, come into his heart, and he got saved that day. He said, well, teenager, well, you know, if 5 minutes, is that all it takes? Well, let me ask you, how long did it take a thief on the cross next to Jesus to get to heaven? Just like that. And so, boy, get involved in one of those outreaches. You do not want to miss out on that. So find a time that works for you. That's just free information for you, Brother Best. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's great. If you've got your Bible, James chapter 2, and verse number 20. I don't know where Pastor stopped last week. I heard he stopped at 20. So if he talked about 20 or didn't talk about 20, I'm going to read verse 20, if that's all right. Okay? So verse 20, the Bible says this, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that with that faith without works is dead. Now, if we were just to read that single verse right there, at first glance, you almost look at that and you say, Martina, that is a verse that proves that works is the way to heaven. And if that was the only verse that you ever read on your Bible, or if you took it out of context, you would look at that and you would say, Martina, that verse, it doesn't sound like faith gets us to heaven. It sounds like works gets us to heaven. I remember I took a class, I went to a Christian Bible college, and a class that was offered, and I don't know why, you know, sometimes I went to college, and sometimes I took classes that I look back on, why in the world did I take that? You know, how many of you have been there, and you took a class, like, why did I take that class? I didn't need it for my major, I took it anyway, I don't know. Anyway, one of the classes that I took was called Cole's class. And it was a class that was on false religions of the world, and the class would go through and talk about all these things. And our professor that one day decided he was going to give us a project. Don't you just love when people give you projects? Anyway, the project was we had to pick a religion of the world or a false religion. We had to come in and we had to give a report on it, but we had to kind of like we were wanting someone to join our religion. So we kind of had to come from it of, you know what, hey, join my religion. And so we had a whole list of different things we could choose from. And I remember I looked at the list and I chose one I was somewhat familiar with. And it was a religion that is based off of work salvation. Only way to heaven is by doing good things. And so I remember it was my time to get up there in front of the class. We had about 20 to 30 students in the room. And I walked up there and I had nothing except my Bible. And I walked up there and I said, I'm going to talk about such and such religion today. And if you would, turn in your Bibles. And when I said that, my teacher's face was gone. And I went to this verse right here. And of course, I began taking that verse out of context. And I began to warp that verse into proving this religion was real. And by the way, I got done it. And the teacher looked at me and he said, you do know you took that out of context, right? I said, of course I do. And I began to explain to the class on what really the Bible was saying. But if you were just to look at this verse, if you were to take it out of context at first glance, you would think, well, it is works the way to heaven. By the way, we understand that it's not a statement right here. There's a little thing called a question mark. The writer here, James, is asking a question. He's not making a statement. And by going to later on answer the question for us about faith versus works. And by the way, the answer is faith is the only way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works is what the Bible says. Not of works. You'll never be good enough. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and you're short of the glory of God. Because every one of us has sinned. Every one of us falls short. Therefore, I need to have faith in something better than me. Something perfect, more perfect than me. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And my belief in Him is what gives me to heaven. Not my works. But I'll say this. A Christian who is saved on the inside has faith in God, the worst should come out. Good things should start coming out. If you study the book of James is all about faith. It's all about faith. But it's about the proofs of a person's faith. If I was to bring someone up here today and say, you know what, do you believe in God? And they would say, oh, well, certainly. Yes, I believe in God. Can I take their word for it? Yeah, I can. But do I know for sure what's in their heart? No. You know what the Bible says? Man looketh on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. God's the only one that can discern the heart of a person. So me as an individual, I look at someone and stuff is coming out. By the way, we've already looked at many of these throughout pastor's preaching. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Faith is proved by how you handle trials in life. I preached about this about a month ago from this pulpit. A person who believes in God, when tough times come, they don't freak out. They don't stress out. They just trust in God. Why? They believe in Him. They believe in Him. And your faith is proved by how you handle tough times in life. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Faith is proved by how you overcome temptation. A Christian who is living a life of faith and believes in God, they don't have problems with sin. They begin overcoming it. Now, sure, does everyone struggle? Yes. But they'll start getting the victory over it. Why? Because there's faith. They believe in God. And if you believe in God, you understand that God has power to conquer all sins and overcome all things that come in your life. There's that faith there. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 27. Faith is proved by you doing what God's word says. Faith is proved by you doing what God's word said. Hey, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, hey, I believe in God. Hey, I love God. Me and my buddies, we're great friends. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you do what God's word says? Because it's easy for me to stand over here and say, well, I believe in God. Does your life match up with what God's word says? I see many Christians today, you know, you meet them, oh, I believe in God too. And you look at their lifestyle and you're like, whoa, 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 I'm pretty sure the Bible talks about that you shouldn't do that. Why are you doing it? And what happens is people, oh, I believe in God, but they don't match up with what God's word says. And a Christian who's living for God, that faith should start coming out, and you should start seeing them obeying what God's word says. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And pastor talked about this, I believe, 2 weeks ago. Faith is proved by treating people equally. Okay, he talks about rich and poor. A Christian believer should not treat people based on how much money they have or how much they don't have. A Christian should not base how they treat people on the color of their skin or what ethnicity they're from. A Christian should look at, hey, God created everyone. God loves everyone. We should treat people equally. It's a proof of the faith that is inside of us. Chapter 2, verse 14 through 20. And that verse 20 is where we ended. Faith is proved by the works we do. Faith is proved by the works we do. Someone stands over here and says, you know what? I believe in God. I look at them and I have to take the word from it. But does their works and their actions prove that they believe in God? Does it match up there? I wrote this down. A lady studies her Bible all week. She buys a snack. She sets out chairs. She goes and prays through a prayer list. On Saturday, she goes out and visits. Then she comes to church on Sunday and spends Sunday school not with her husband. Instead, she spends Sunday school teaching some little girls the Bible. Why does she do all that work? She believes in God. A man gets up early on a Sunday morning, even probably before his wife. He drives here to the church. He drives to the back. He gets out in his suit and tie and he goes and begins pre-tripping a bus. He notices the bus isn't clean, so he hops on that bus and he takes a broom and he begins sweeping it. Then he drives about an hour and a half to go pick up children for church.
Then after church is done, he hops back on that same bus and he drives another hour and a half and goes and drops off the kids while many church Sunday morning church people are already taking their Sunday afternoon nap. By the way, I'm a believer in that. Why would that man go through all that work? He believes in God. And because he believes in God, he's got to do something about it. He's got to pick up some kids for church. He's got to help out. A teen boy wakes himself up early in the morning while his parents are still in bed. He opens his Bible and begins reading it. He then hops in his car and drives himself to church all by himself. He'll grab a songbook when he gets here, and he'll hop up and sing in the choir. And then when he's done singing in the choir, he'll walk down to a junior church where he'll help lead little kids in singing. Why would that teen boy do that? He believes in God. And because he believes in God, an action has to be taken a step further. A mother reads her children a Bible story before bed every night. She gets on her knees next to her bed and every night prays for her husbands and kids. Her husband and kids. That'd be bad. Husbands. Prays for her husband and kid. That was pretty funny. She irons their clothes and dresses them up every single Sunday morning to bring them to church. She teaches her family the love of God and demonstrates it to them every day by the way she loves on them. She teaches her children right from wrong. She worked hard sacrificing for them to be at church and to be around other Christians and to be around Christian leadership. And maybe she even picks them up from teen church activities. Why does she do all that? Because she believes in God. And can I say this? The question that's asked in this verse is the answer is simple. When I believe in God, then my works back it up. Why? Because if I believe in God, then I know what God wants. And I've got to do it. And I've got to do it and I've got to make an impact. The question is simple. Are we a faith talkers or are we faith walkers? Oh, it's so easy to say, man, I've got faith. Oh, man, I believe in God. But it's easier to say it than sometimes it is easier to do it. By the way, if you look here, we got two different references. And in this passage here, and we're going to read verse 21 onward, we're going to find two different stories are mentioned. If you got your Bibles, we're in James chapter 2, and look at verse number 21. Two stories are mentioned about, and examples given about this, works are showing that someone has faith. Look at verse 21. The Bible says this, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The first story that is given here, and this illustration James uses, he uses the story of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis chapter 22. Almost every person in this room probably knows that story. God has promised Abraham that someday, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. That nation's going to be Israel, right? We all know that. And remember, God had finally given him his son, Isaac. Him and Sarah had tried for years, and it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to work out. And all of a sudden, this miracle child, Isaac, is born. And all of a sudden, Isaac is getting older now. And God comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Whoa, what a strange request from God, right? Now, Abraham's got the chance. Do I believe in God? Or do I not trust him? Do I have faith in him or do I not? Abraham takes his son Isaac, and I think it's funny, Isaac, you know, he's such a kid in that story. He's piecing things together. He's looking around. Dad, I see the wood, and I see the knife, but we're missing the sacrifice part, right? We're going to sacrifice, right, Dad? I mean, the only part of a sacrifice you need, really, is the sacrifice itself. You know, what's going on? What does Abraham say? Well, we'll figure it out when we get there. He's got faith in God. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know how it's going to work out, but he believed in God. They get up there, and he says, hey, I need you to climb on the wood. Isaac's like, what? Now Isaac's piecing it together, right? Uh-oh. By the way, what's interesting, Isaac didn't argue with his dad. Hey, teenagers, I'll tell you right now, you want to save some trouble in your life, don't argue with your parents. Hey, I can look back at my life and things that I argue with my dad. I look back now as a younger man, I think, man, I wish I'd have listened to him. I wish I would have. Hey, you'll never regret just saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Anyway, moving on. He hops up there. And remember, Abraham, he raises that knife and just as a, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's not hesitating. He's going to do it. And by the way, many Bible scholars will tell you, they believe that Abraham probably believed God was going to bring him back. That's what he thought. I'm going to plunge it in there. I'm going to kill him. I don't know why God's asking me to do this, but I believe in him so much that I'm going to do it, and he's going to bring him back or something. But he believed in God. He believed in God. By the way, the second story that is mentioned here is in verse 24, or verse 25. Verse 24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Now go in your Bibles, if you would, to Joshua chapter, I think it's 2. Joshua chapter 2. If you would, just for a minute, Joshua chapter 2. This story, Rahab, we don't talk much about Rahab in the Bible. Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Now remember, Israel has just come to the promised land. They come into this land God had promised them. And the first city they come to is this city Jericho. We know from the Bible accounts and from history accounts that Jericho had this giant wall around the city. And so Joshua, he's like, well, we got to take this thing down somehow. He decides he's going to send two spies in. You know, fellas, find a weakness. Find a hole in the wall. Find something. Go spy it out. These two men go in, and they meet a lady, an immoral lady, Rahab. She's a prostitute. Notice what it says. In verse number 1, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in thither in the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. Verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. The king of Jericho comes to Rahab, this prostitute. He says, hey, I heard that you saw these guys. Where are they at? Where are they at? Now, I don't know about you, but if the king would come to your house asking you for something, wouldn't you probably just say, yeah, they're right here? That's like the natural thing. What connection does she have with Israel? What connection does she have with these two men? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Yet when the king comes, she says, oh, I don't know nothing. I ain't seen them. Or they went that way. You know how it is? She acts like, what's going on? Why in the world would she do that? Are you ready to find out? Look at verse number 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Not only did she throw the king off, but she goes a step further, and now she hides them in her house. Whoa. It was one thing for her to, you know, okay, they're not here, you know, they're somewhere, I'm sure. But it's another whole step now. She's hiding them in her house. Why in the world would she do that? Look at verse number 8. And before they were laid up, she came up unto them upon the roof. Verse 9, and she said unto the men, the two men that came in, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Huh. The Lord. For a lady in Jericho, not in Israel, the Lord. Sounds like she believes in God, doesn't it? Look down at verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, she looks at him and says, hey, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know why Rahab was willing to hide these guys? Because she believed in God. And because she believed in God, guess what? Now she's going to put feet to her beliefs. Because she believes God is real and God is the God of heaven, that now she's willing to help these two guys. And you look at it and you go, why would she help them? Well, she helped them because she believed that God was the true God. By the way, you say, Brother T.D., how did people get saved in the Old Testament? Same way you and I do today, a belief in God. A belief in God. This was her salvation moment. I believe your God is the real God. And you know what's interesting about both these stories, though? Both stories about faith. Both stories about how their faith, once they believed in God, yes, they took it a step further. There were some things they did. There were some actions. But here's what's interesting. In both these stories, it changed their families forever. It changed their families forever. Could you think about Isaac? What do you think Isaac thought the rest of his life when he would think about that moment with his dad? He thought about that knife. He thought about how maybe he climbed up on that wood. But you know what he saw that day? He saw faith from his dad. He saw how faith and how his dad had believed in God. Rahab the harlot. You know what? Her life got totally transformed from that moment on. Remember, the city of Jericho was conquered. Who was the only family that was saved out of there? Oh, you guessed it. Rahab and her house. You can read about that in chapter 3 of Joshua. By the way, did you also know this? There are four women mentioned in the line of Jesus Christ. Guess who's one of them? Rahab. Rahab. Her faith changed her family forever. Her faith changed her family forever. And I don't know about you, but in the world that we live in today, I hope we've got some moms, some dads, some grandmas, some grandpas, some aunts, some uncles who in your house, you want to have a house that believes in God and has a faith in God. Because let me tell you, it'll change your life. So the question is then simple this morning. How then, if I want to have a family, if I want to have a house, if I want to have a home, who believes in God, whose whole foundation of our house is our faith in God, how then can I implement that into my life? Number one, very quickly, I'm almost done. Number one, faith needs to be modeled. Faith needs to be modeled. That day that Isaac laid on that wood and he watched as his dad, he about plunged that knife into him. You cannot tell me that Isaac, the rest of his life, ever struggled with faith. Why? Because he had a dad who believed in God so much that he was willing to almost kill him because he believed God was going to bring him back. You cannot tell me that Isaac that day didn't look and see a dad who had faith in God and believed in God supremely more than anything else. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think Isaac ever forgot it. Can I say this? Moms and dads, are you modeling faith in your home? Hey, dad, when the hours don't seem to be there at work and you don't know how you're going to make the bills paid and you're struggling, do you look at your son and say, you know what, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to come through. Watch this. Hey, mom, when you're at your wit's end, you're stressed out, you're sick of those dishes, you're sick of cleaning up after them kids? Happy Mother's Day. Do you look at your daughter and your son and you say, you know what? Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? I'm glad I got dishes to clean because I got you two rugrats running around or whatever it is. I'm sure glad God gave you to me. Do you model faith in your house? I'll never forget it. As a 5-year-old young boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's about 4 years later, where my dad trusted Jesus as his Savior. I'll never forget that. My dad walked an aisle and trusted Jesus. I was a senior boy in high school. I was standing, I'd come to church just like any other Sunday morning. No different, just like you came this morning. An old-fashioned preacher got up, just like our pulpit right here. He gave an invitation. And he said, I wonder if there's someone out there with heads bowed, eyes closed. By the way, don't you love that heads bowed, eyes closed? And people are just, don't do that. Free information. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And I stood up, and we all stood up in that auditorium that day. And that pastor said, if there's someone out there who you've never been scripturally baptized, you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, but you've never taken that next step, and you've never stepped out on faith and said, I believe in God, I'm willing to show it by getting in some baptistry waters, would you come forward? And I remember standing there with my head bowed, eyes closed. Felt a, get off me, I'm just kidding. I looked up, it was my dad. He said, TJ, will you walk me down the aisle? I need to get baptized. I did a double take. Wait, what? He said, TJ, I need to get baptized. I never got baptized. I got saved, but I never got baptized. I said, okay. Me and my dad, we walked down that aisle. I came up to a man in our church and said, my dad wants to get baptized. Ooh. I walked him upstairs. He got changed and he got in the baptistry and he got baptized that day. Praise the Lord. I remember he was getting changed. I walked down. My mom was still in the auditorium. with tears just pouring down her face. She said, TJ, you don't know how long I prayed for your dad to get baptized. I've been praying for years for that. You know what I saw from my mom that day? Faith. I saw a mom who had faith. She believed it. Years it took, but she believed it would happen. Can I ask you, mom and dad, do you believe in God and you show it to your kids? Hey, grandma and grandpa out there. Hey, grandma and grandpa out there, don't miss your opportunity for your grandkids. Well, I don't care how your son and daughter are living. Let me tell you, when those grandkids come over to your house, you better make sure that when they come in that door, they understand grandma and grandma loves them, but also grandma and grandma love God, and they believe in God, and they go to church all the time, and they want you to go to church with them. Grandma and grandpa, don't miss out on your opportunity to show faith to your grandkids. I remember I had one side of my family, praise God for a side of the family who was living for God, my mom's side. I never forget watching my grandpa, and he had an old, nasty, lazy boy, but it was his thing. How many fellas you got one of those? Like your spot, man. You just melt into that thing. It's got just form to you. He had a lazy boy, and boy, every night he would get in, he'd go lay in that, or sit in that little recliner, and he'd pop that feet up, and he had a little lamp that he would turn on, and he would open his Bible, and he would start breaking out the Bible commentaries, and he'd have them all down his legs as he just laid there. I never forget as a kid walking in there and seeing my grandpa sleeping with the Bible and the commentaries all over him. Can I say this, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, are you modeling faith in your house? Number one, faith has to be modeled. Number two, faith needs to be personal. Look at verse 23. You're back in Joshua, or not Joshua, I'm sorry, James. Back in James, look at verse 23, James chapter 2, verse 23. And a scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. By the way, there's your answer to your question in verse 20. How was Abraham saved? He believed in God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Anyway, the rest of the verse, and he was called, look at that title, the friend of God. What a title. Hey God, who's Abraham to you? He's my friend. Hey God, what you think of Abraham? He's my buddy. What a title. I hope you're jealous of that title. I am. I want to be known as a friend of God. Helen Keller was born deaf, blind, and mute. Later on, as she became an adult, she had a quote. It was said this, I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than alone in the light. I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than alone in the light. And I thought to myself after reading that quote, who better to walk around a dark and sinful world with than the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Can I say this? I hope Jesus is your friend. I hope you have that personal relationship with him. See, how do I have that? Number one, there's got to be that moment of salvation. That moment where you and him, you connect and you trust him as your Savior and him alone, not your works, okay, not your good deeds, not getting in a baptistry. You and him, you trust in him, you believe in him, and you have that moment of salvation where you put your trust in him, and it's him or getting me into heaven or nothing at all. I believe in him. I trust in him. There has to be that moment of salvation. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never asked him to come into your heart, it'll be the best decision you'll ever make. We'll rejoice with you. We would love that if it was today. There has to be that moment of salvation. There's also got to be, as a Christian, that moment of separation. I was asking my wife, how many of you fellas, you struggle with vocabulary sometimes? Anybody like that? And you always ask your wife, you know, like, what word am I looking for here? I'll sit on the couch, I'm like, I'm looking for a word, you know, like when you're dating somebody and like you don't date anybody else. I'm like, what word is that? And the word she gave me was exclusive. Exclusive, right? That means, you know, you're not texting other girls, okay? You know, it's not like you have three girls you're going on dates with, none of your girlfriend, but okay, I've never done that, by the way. Just, anyway. But you're exclusive. I'm dating you, you're dating me, I ain't talking to nobody else, you ain't talking to nobody else, we're not married, but boy, we are good to go. Me and you, we're exclusive. Can I say this? I hope you're exclusive with God. I hope you're exclusive with God. We've got many Christians in our world today who, boy, they would profess a love for God. They would stand before you, I love God. Yet they love something else more. They love something else more. Huh, some people love the coast more than God. Hey, why not? I'm preaching. Pastor can fire me later. It's Sunday morning. It's people at the coast every weekend. It's like, I've been to the coast enough. It always rains on me every time I go. How many more times do you need to see it? Why does it seem like once again, we come to church on a Sunday morning, and hey, it's 2 or 3 hours. You think about how many hours are in your week. 24 hours a day times 7, that's 1 week, and yet the 3 hours that you designated to give to God in God's house, those 3 hours, you decided to not show up. And yet you say, I love him. But maybe you love something else more. Hey, I grew up and I love my dad. My dad's probably going to watch this later. I love my dad. But on Sunday morning, he used to make me play baseball. I love baseball. But I used to go to those games and I think, Dad, I shouldn't be here. Dad, I shouldn't be here. I'm supposed to be in church. It's Sunday morning, Dad. Is sports, what in your life is, are you not exclusive? Oh, God, I love you, but I love this other thing more. Can I say this? Boy, if you want a relationship with God, you've got to commit to him. You've got to commit to him. You've got to commit, man. Hey, husbands, will you commit yourselves to just being here every Sunday morning at church? Hey, will you just look at your wife and say, hey, honey, we need to be here every week, every week, every week. Let's not miss. Hey, if nothing else, your kids see that. How we wonder why our kids walk away from God. Yet they saw a mom and dad who walked away from church so often. And we wonder why they struggle. Will you just commit to God? To be exclusive to him? That you're going to live for him? That you're going to love him? That you and your family, you're going to try to do your best to serve him with your lives? We've got to have a walk with him. Hey, that walk also takes a personal walk. How are you doing with your Bible reading and prayer, adults? How you doing? By the way, it wouldn't be the worst thing, mom and dad, if your kids ever caught you. Hey, what's mom doing in there? She's kneeling by her bed. What's she doing? Oh, she's praying. Really? That's cool. Hey, dad, it wouldn't be a bad thing if your son or daughter came out and saw you reading your Bible at the kitchen counter. What you doing, dad? I'm reading my Bible. You want to come join me? Hey, we need to have a personal walk with God if we want to have faith in our homes. If we want our homes to be built on a foundation of believing in God. Number one, it's got to be modeled. Number two, faith needs to be personal. I'm almost done. Oh man, I'm running short on time. Woo. Lastly, faith needs to be the difference maker. If you want your home to be different, faith is what's going to make it different. Rahab, we already mentioned her. Rahab, boy, that her faith in God was a difference maker in her life as well as her family's life. Can I say this? I cannot stand before you today and tell you how big of an impact God has made on my life. I had one side of my family. I'll be very transparent with you. I had a mom's side of the family who praised God for a mama who kept me in church. Amen. It's Mother's Day. Thank you, Mama. By the way, it's not Mom, it's Mama. It's in my phone too, M-A-M-A, but anyway. My dad's side was a little rougher. I'd go to grandpa's house with aunts, uncles, and cousins, and the liquor would flow. The drugs were there. I saw it. And I look at that side of the family. Can I say this? And once again, I don't want you to think that I'm anything special. But I'll tell you this right now. I was the first one to ever graduate college. I was the first one to graduate high school. I was the first one to get married and do it right. My younger brother was the next one to get married right. Was the next one to graduate high school. And the next one to graduate college. And I love my relatives on that side, but none of them can say that. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the fact that I had a mama who took me to church. I had a mama who was on her hands and knees by her bedside praying for me. It has everything to do with my dad, who, although not a churchgoer himself, paid money for me to go to a Christian school and allowed mama to take me to church. Say, teacher, is there anything then better than you? Better? No, there's nothing better about me. But I'm telling you this morning, the difference that has been made in my life was nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Almighty God. And but by the grace of God, I would be where my relatives are. I would be struggling with the same addictions that they are. I would be struggling in life the same way they are. But praise God for a mama and a daddy who kept me in church and kept me down that right path. And I would not be standing up here today if it was not for a home like that. How about your home? How about your home? How about your home? Do you want that faith in your house? Mom and daddy, I'm begging you. We live in a dark world today. And if you don't show your kids that this is a house that we're going to live for God and we're going to do right and we're going to believe in Him and we're going to trust in Him, if you do not show them that, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle. Hey, Grandma, Grandpa, will you have a house like that? When those grandkids come over, the house that believes in God? A house that will live for Him? A house that on Sunday, if they kids come over for the weekend, hey, we're going to church this morning. Will you have that type of house? Because I promise you this, it'll make the difference. I love my dad. There was a time as a kid where I would beg my dad to come to church. I'd beg him, Dad, please come. Dad, please come. Dad, please come. He'd give the old, we'll see. Can I say this? 15 years later, he goes to church every week of his life. Every time I preach, he listens. He always shoots me texts. I never thought I'd hear something. Here's something I never thought I'd hear my dad say. Good sermon. I loved it. Can I say this? What was the difference? Faith in God. Faith in God. Do you have faith in your family? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's pray. With heads bowed, eyes closed. I know it's Mother's Day. Mamas, we need you. We need you to live for Him. Dads, we need you too. Grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles that are out there, we need you to have a home that believes in God and lives for God. In just a minute, the piano's going to play. We'll stand to our feet. When that piano plays, we stand to our feet. Maybe there's some of you in here that God's tapping on your heart about something. Something in your home. Something in your family. A relative. Someone who's struggling. Maybe it's a son or daughter. We've got an old-fashioned altar. These steps we call the altar. Where you can come forward. It's nothing special, but you can walk forward. You can kneel here. You can pray and you can give whatever that is to God. And you can walk back to your seat. If you don't want to come forward, that's fine. You can pray at your seat. But if God's speaking to your heart, in just a second, when that piano plays, would you stand to your feet? We'll all stand. Let's everybody stand. Why not? We stand right now. We'll do that. Everyone stand to your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The altar's open. If you're not, you're going to stay at your seat. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe there's someone here this morning who you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've never trusted Him. There's some men at the front. If you've never trusted Jesus, say, Brother TJ, I want to trust Him right now. I want to trust Him right now. I want that relationship. I've got men at the front. They're not scary. Come on down. So just all you have to do is say this. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. They know what that means. They'll walk you through the Bible. If there's anyone like that, would you come forward? No one's embarrassing you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There's someone like that. Say, Brother TJ, I'm not sure. Would you walk an aisle this morning? I know it takes courage. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You're like my dad. You've been saved, but you've never gotten into that water. You know it. God knows it. We can take care of that for you this morning. It won't take long. Say, Brother TJ, I've never been baptized. I've been saved. I've never been baptized. Would you walk an aisle? There's men here at the front. And just say this. I need to be baptized. I need to be baptized. What if there's someone here today? You've been looking for a church home. And you think, man, this church is pretty awesome. Maybe this is where you want to join. You come forward and say, one of these men, I'd love to join your church. They'll help you with that. Many have come. If you're at your seat, would you please just pray for those who come? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, God. You're so good to us. Lord, I know, God, in my own life, there's been nothing special about me. God, but boy, You have done a work in my life. You've done a work in my family's life. Lord, I'd be a fool to not tell others what You've done in my life. God, the list could go on and on. Lord, I ask that You would help these people of Grandview Baptist Church. Help mom and dad out there, Lord. Help the grandparents, Lord. Help the family members, Lord. Help these teenagers who are in the service this morning. God, to grow close to You and have that walk with You. And to God, in their own lives and in their own hearts and in their own homes, God, that they would live for You in everything they do. God, we love you. You're so amazing. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. We have two people who've come forward this morning for baptism as well as church membership. And in just a second, we will see the baptismal service. They are headed back up there right now. And I wanted to let you know, I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I hope all of you mothers, you have a wonderful Mother's Day. And I think we might have time. Can we show that next video real quick? And that'll be right before the baptisms. As soon as that next video is done, we need to put that screen up. And then we'll dismiss, okay? So we're going to watch the next video. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Pray for our pastor this week if you think about him, okay? And the men that are there, power tools, all that stuff. And just be praying for him, if you will. Let's watch that next video.
Thank you for joining us for our Mother's Day service. Every adult lady present today will receive a copy of Miss Vicki's book, A Cup of Encouragement. Stop by the table in the foyer after the service to receive your copy. There will be a business meeting on Sunday, May 20th, after the evening service. The updated constitution of Grandview Baptist Church will be presented to the congregation and voted on during this meeting. Copies are available to pick up at the welcome desk. Also, on Wednesday, May 16th, there will be a business meeting to cover any questions regarding the Constitution. Teenagers, you are invited to join us for a youth rally at Riverview Baptist Church in Pasco, Washington, on Friday, May 18th. The special speaker is Cameron Giovanelli. The cost is $5 plus money for dinner. The bus will be leaving the church at 2 p.m. and returning after the conference. For questions or more information, please see TJ Gardner. There will be a nursery shower on Sunday, May 20th and 27th. Our nursery is in need of some basic items to help keep our babies and parents happy and comfortable. If you could donate some items, there will be a crib in the foyer for you to drop off your donations. If you would like a list for some of our needs, please pick one up at the welcome desk. Thank you for joining us this morning. If this is your first time here, we would like to invite you to the guest reception area in the foyer following the service to receive a gift. Have a happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
Mike has also come for to be a member of our church. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, there we go. Thank you, Mike. Let's give him a big hand. While we're waiting, I just want to mention, ladies, on your way out, don't forget to stop by and get your book, okay? A Cup of Encouragement, of course. I think Miss Vicki has a Facebook thing that she does quite often on just words of encouragement. And if you read those, my wife has shown me those a few times, you're going to want to get that book. Also, be watching for the sequel that I'm writing, A Can of Contentment. So that'll be great. Hopefully it'll be a bestseller. And I also wanted to mention, next Sunday night after church, we are going to be voting in our church constitution. I believe Pastor this week is on Wednesday. I believe he's going to talk through that a little bit if there's any questions you might have. I believe, in fact, you can see that new church constitution on our website. And if you have any questions about that, Brother Vesta will be able to help you. He'll be out by the guest reception. You know, our church constitution, we've had a church constitution that's been around. I'll shut up now. Here we go.
Kayla. Kayla, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Also, Kayla is coming to be a member of our church as well. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Welcome to Grandview Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here. I'm on that church constitution. You know, it's just we had to update some of our wording, and it's, of course, it's been a few years since we've had to do that. The day and age we live in, you know, some things we've had to add to it, and we just never thought we would. The world we live in. And so please be here on Wednesday night and Sunday night next week. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to see Brother Vestal or even myself if you need to. And we're so glad you're here. With that, you are dismissed. Have a happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for being here at Grandview Baptist Church.